Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Tate Modern. My name is Marco Daniel, and I'm convener of public programs. It gives me great pleasure to welcome you to today's panel discussion on this year's Sharjah Biennial, the 11th since its inception in 1993. The Sharjah Biennial was fundamentally reoriented in 2003 on the initiative and under the direction of Hur Al-Qasimi, who is with us here today and who will introduce the biennial shortly. The German website Universes in Universe, which focuses on the visual arts in the context of international art processes and cultural exchange, says that not least through the biennial, Sharjah has become a driving force of communication and cooperation between the region and the art scenes in other parts of the world. The Sharjah Art Foundation has sought to contribute to this development since its creation in 2009. It organizes the biennial and is in charge of an extensive and diverse program of related activities, from exhibitions to events, residencies to research, publications, and a collection. Our talk here today is but one instance of how these activities are part of a global exchange, and your presence an indication of the interest London has in these discussions and of the role London plays as a hub for global ideas, culture, and art. But it would be quite naive to think that London's position is an innocent consequence of artistic genius and intellectual brilliance. Political power and colonial history, economic and neo-colonial interests shape our world and our view of it. Let us not forget that as a UK protectorate until 1971, the territories of the United Arab Emirates were quaintly known as the Trucial States of the Coast of Oman. The movements of the art world have often, if not always, been associated with different ways of political and economic global endeavour, whether through trade, the building of empires, or today's soft power. But art needs to be seen not just as another form of trade, but as a global cultural process that can speak powerfully of historical and contemporary conditions of human migration, formations of identity, and exchange of ideas. As the global balance of power shifts, what becomes of art and culture, and what is its critical role? Yuko Hasegawa, curator of Sharjah Biennial 11, proposes a new cultural cartography that considers and reconsiders the relationships between the Arab world, Asia, the Far East, North Africa, and Latin America. In her presentation today, she introduces the curatorial concept for Sharjah Biennial 11 and touches both on redrawing the world system, global system, on the big scale, and on the courtyard as a component of intimate exchange. Two extremes that set out ambitious ideas for our panel to consider. Let me introduce our speakers. Sheikh Hur Al-Qasimi, President and Director of the Sharjah Art Foundation, is a practicing artist who received her fine art degree from the Slade and an MA in curating contemporary art from the RCA. She was on the curatorial selection committee for the 2012 Berlin Biennale, and her recent curatorial projects include Drift, an exploration of urban and suburban landscapes, and In Spite of It All. Yuko Hasegawa, the second speaker this afternoon, the curator of Sharjah Biennial 11, is also chief curator of the Museum of Contemporary Art Tokyo and a professor at Tama Art University in Tokyo, where she teaches curatorial and art theory. Previously, she was chief curator and founding artistic director of the 21st Century Museum of Contemporary Art, Kanazawa. Hasegawa has worked on many international biennials and has curated major thematic group exhibitions and solo exhibitions by such artists as Matthew Barney, Malène Dumas, Rebecca Horn, and Atsuko Tanaka. Wael Sharkey is an artist and filmmaker living and working in Alexandria and a participating artist in Sharjah Biennial 11. Sharkey's work seeks to challenge commonly held assumptions about regional politics, history, and religion through the complex interaction of narrative and imagery that investigate concepts of modernity, cultural identity, and hybridity. In the last few years, he's participated in countless major international art events, from Documenta in Kassel and Gwangju in Korea and Shanghai biennial last year, but also other major shows, biennials in Istanbul and Santa Fe. And he is currently preparing for a solo show at the Serpentine Gallery, which will open here in London later this year. So I'm sure we will see more of you here this year. Sarad Maharaj is a writer, researcher, curator, and professor. He's an authority on the work of Richard Hamilton, Marcel Duchamp, and James Joyce. He's a professor of visual arts and knowledge systems at the Malmö Art Academy at Lund University in Sweden, and was professor of art and art theory at Goldsmiths College, London. Maharaj has held visiting professorships and fellowships at many institutions, including Jan van Eyck Academy in Maastricht and Humboldt University in Berlin. His writings, curatorial projects, and presentations have appeared all over the world. Maharaj is also a member of the advisory board of the journal Third Text. Professor John Hutnick is Academic Director of Cultural Studies at Goldsmiths, University of London. His current research interests are incredibly rich and varied, but include, amongst many other things, revolutionary movements, especially in South Asia, global knowledge production and the history of ideas, trinkets, archives and collections, trade routes, ports and the administration of commercial or commercialized lives with multiple locations, the history of work and technology, especially with regard to mode of production debates, illicit trade and piracy as catalyst for neoliberal incursion, and the politics of prisons and confinement. These are our speakers this afternoon. I would like to hand over to our first speaker in a moment, but I'd just like to remind you before then that, as always in this global world, we are very happy if you use our free Wi-Fi to blog and tweet and engage in other social media activities, but please turn your mobile phones to silent if you can. And now I'd like to hand over to Hur Al-Kasimi, who will introduce the Sharjah Biennial.
Thank you. Thank you, Marco. First, I'd like to thank Tate and Marco Daniels for hosting this event today. It's a privilege to be here with such distinguished speakers and to have an audience like this in London. I can see some familiar faces, but for the benefit of others, I want to briefly introduce Sharjah and the Biennial and about the history of the Biennial. So I'm not sure how many people know where Sharjah is. So this is Sharjah, just above Dubai. And Sharjah is the third largest of the seven emirates. And it was a constitutional federation of the Arab states established in 1971 when the British withdrew, and it was 150 years of colonial occupation. Sharjah is the only emirate to have land on both sides of the Arabian Gulf or Persian Gulf and the Gulf of Oman. So you could see Kalba, Khorfakkan are all part of Sharjah. Sharjah Biennial was established in 1993, and it was based along the lines of the Cairo Biennial and Venice Biennial. So it looked at countries being represented through national pavilions and was always placed in the Expo Center. And in 2003, when I got involved, I decided to place half of it in the museum and half in the Expo Center, just to bring it more into the city center and into a cultural institution. This is an image from Biennial 8 in 2007 with Mona Hatoum and Elena Tsui. And in 2008 was the last biennial that had some presence in the Expo Center. After that, we eliminated using it. We didn't want to use it anymore because of its associations with commerce and trade. And so in 2009, we started a project of trying to build new spaces within the heritage area, which is part of our venues during every biennial. And it came from a need of needing spaces with higher ceilings and museum quality spaces, since a lot of the buildings we use are heritage buildings and need constant conservation. And here you could see from the last biennial, Rosalind Nashashibi's work placed in the courtyard. This was called Shelter for a New Youth. From Sharjah Biennial 8, Amal Kinawi, this was a performance Amal did in 2008, where she wrapped one of the oldest buildings in Sharjah with quilts made from silk. And using this heritage area was really challenging, trying to work with the conservation department, especially with this building, since it hasn't gone through any kind of conservation. Susan Hafuna, another public intervention. It's really important for us to have these public interventions within the city, since there isn't a huge crowd of museum goers, and for us, the more important audience are actually just the public who are passing by, and try to create dialogue or interest through having these works spaced within the city is very important. This is a work from 2009, Sharjah Biennial 9, by Helal Kousi, an Egyptian artist. It's called Unread Nails, Palm Trees, and Other Icons. This is now actually part of the Tate Collection. Another piece from 2009, Laurent Gasso. It's a light installation, again placed in a very site-specific tunnel in one of the old buildings. And the writing says, the wider the vision, the narrower the statement. And this is in our collection. Lara Favoretto, Simple Couples. Again, using courtyards is very important for us. So Yuko's theme was very interesting because of the placements of our works in courtyards throughout the last couple of biennials. And Lara Favoretto's project was one of them. And we currently have an exhibition on show in Sharjah that we co-organized with MoMA PS1. On Lara Favoretto's work. Olaf Nicolai, again using very awkward places. That street actually has a dead end on the other side. So trying to use these spaces within the two wings of the museum has been very challenging but interesting for us to create public art that's not permanent. We also commissioned a number of films, music, and performances. This is a Lebanese dance group called Maqamat Dance Theater, and the performance is called Mushrooms and Fig Leaves. It was a very interesting performance. It's on our website if you're interested, on Vimeo as well. This was a commission produced for 2009 biennial by Spanish artist Maider Lopez. And what's interesting is this building here are the foundation offices, and a lot of children play in that square. It's very active at night, and they play mainly cricket, badminton, and so the artist decided to paint this football field, and it was constantly being used not only as for football but other games. And the thing is, with a lot of our public interventions, they last as long as they're needed. So this was painted in 2009, and it stayed on until earlier this year, where it's just recently been washed off, or sandblasted, I should say. Another project by Maider Lopez, which was really also interesting for the community, was this fountain, this water fountain, that was being used by everybody who was working in the area or living in the area, just filling up their bottles of water. Soy Project is an artist collective group from Thailand and Japan. People were invited to create fruit from paper and exchange it for real fruit. And the interesting part that happened with this project was, as you walk through the markets behind, you would see shopkeepers making these fruit out of paper and running off to kind of exchange it for real fruit. So, yeah. Again, education is something that's really important for us, especially since with the Ministry of Education, they've, with as the same in many countries, they've cut off They've reduced a lot of the cultural programs and art programs, so it's really important for us to work with the museums department and create an education program for schools. Another thing we do in courtyards, which is create a music program with the biennial. This was from the last biennial. Again, bringing in a different kind of audience and attracting people from from the streets was really important. Last year, we had a concert by a Mauritanian singer, Dimi Mint Abba, who sadly passed away a few months later. But what was interesting is that we didn't have this this collaboration or interest from the Mauritanian community, and all of a sudden, people were calling up their friends, and we had a huge Mauritanian community dancing, and they stayed and visited the whole biennial just because of this famous Mauritanian singer who came to perform in Sharjah. Every year we have a March meeting, which is an annual conference that follows a specific theme. So for last year, 2012, the theme was working with artists and audiences on residencies and commissions. And it was great for us to meet different institutions, different people working in the fields of art and culture. For example, the Sudan Film Factory or a residency in Kenya. And there's a townhouse in Egypt. So this year, the March meeting will actually fall onto the theme of the biennial. So when it coincides with the year of the biennial, we'll take on the context of the biennial and work on an open call with the March meeting. So I hope I've kept it long enough. I hope many of you can join us in Sharjah this year. The biennial opens on the 13th of March until the 13th of May, so don't feel like you have to be there at the opening. There's many things happening throughout the 2 months. And I'll pass you on to Yuko Hasegawa. Thanks.
Good afternoon. And I'm so glad to be here to make a presentation, my curatorial concept for Sharjah Biennial 11th. As a curator based in Far East, one of my long-term objectives, my curatorial practice, has been to draw cultural maps from a new viewpoint, a viewpoint that is non-Eurocentric. When working on my concept for Sharjah Biennial 11, I started by making a global general survey of the Sharjah's past and present from Sharjah's own perspective. In that process, there were 2 points that caught my initial attention. The first point was the involvement of the global South, both contemporary and historical. And the second point was the question of how to map the cultural knowledge generated through the mixture and interaction of the coast of the cultures. In geopolitical terms, Sharjah and indeed the whole the Arabian region can reasonably be described as a symbolic location for the flow of the economic goods and services, information, and people within the global South. Over the last 50 years, Sharjah has rapidly urbanized, and today, around 25% of its residents are the Sharjah natives, the remaining 70% being the recent migrants. People has come to the Emirates from the wide range of the countries, including Indonesia, Philippines, and India in South and East Asia, from Tajikistan in Central Asia, from nearby Arab countries, and from countries in North Africa. Migrants now is the perform jobs at all the levels in Sharjah society. This high proportion of non-nations has brought on great changes to cultural identity. The resulting dynamism that you can sense in Sharjah is reminiscent of the time when Asia becomes the focus on cultural and economic exchange. From the time of Silk Road, land and sea route to distant countries span the world. Like the travels of Ibn Battuta's, the great 14th century historian lawyer, he began into the Middle East and moved through North Africa, parts of Europe, and all the way to Asia, such as India and China. You can see the black line, that is Ibn Battuta's traveling route. Ibn Battuta's record of his journey can be distinguished from journal by travelers like Marco Polo, in that his perception and his interpretation of what he encountered were framed by an immersion in scholarly tradition of Islamic philosophy and Quranic studies. You can compare the route at Red is Marco Polo's. From the 8th to the 15th centuries, Arab traders played a major part in constructing and maintaining thriving in transnational relations, which included a great deal of the cultural exchange and shared production. This was all at a time when Europe was still mired in the Dark Ages. Economic historian and sociologist Andre Günther Frank brought this issue up in 1998 when he published The Orient, Global Economy in the Asian Age. Frank pointed out that European globalism was predated by flourishing global economy in the 15th to 18th centuries, one that was mainly driven by China with the silver standard system. Illuminating this and shared historical roots in the context of the present allow us to reorient ourselves once again and to re-examine the historically significant geopolitically and cultural route of the Arabian Peninsula. I was inspired by courtyards and the Islamic architecture, in particular by the historical courtyard of Sharjah, where the elements of both public and private life intertwines, where the objective political world and introspective space of subjectivity intersect and overlap. All those private in nature, depending on their size and location, they can also function to varying degrees as a public social spaces. In practice, although they appear to be private spaces, they also had the public dimensions as the people from outside could be invited in. The courtyard cultures appear to have initially introduced them from Rome to Arab world, where the distinctive Islamic courtyard developed. This then spread eastward in the Bia Mughal Empire to India. Further east, China and Japan and also developed their own and forms of the courtyard cultures. To the west, the influence of courtyard culture crossed into North Africa and as well as to Spain as a symbolizer of the Alhambra, and then onto Latin America. These are several courtyards of different kinds of places, Arab, and this is Morocco, and China is developed with a different form, and this is Mexico. So these are the courtyard cultures of connection, hold a number of the cultural commonalities. When that have provided me with many significant hints for developing a new cultural cartography. Spacious courtyards tend to be more open. Private houses have their own private courtyard. There are richness to courtyards because there are spaces that acquire an intense accumulation of the memory of the local cultures. The exchanges and encounters between host and guest, between different generations, that they facilitate unable people to produce new knowledge. I intend to use the courtyards as an exhibition concept in two ways. I will use it firstly as a physical site, social space, where the people meet, and secondly as a metaphorical condition for stimulating cultural negotiations and generating knowledge. Sharjah hosts a large number of the migrants. It is a place where the people from diverse cultural background can meet and share the information and embodied knowledge they have brought with them from home. In doing so, they are collectively participating in placemaking within their geographical space that they cohabit. In selecting artists for the biennial, I sought out individuals who have a deep interest in the culture in which they are raised, and who are creatively engaged in exploring their background. When such artists visit a new location, they perceive and interpret it through the lens of their own unique subjectivity, formed gradually within their cultures of origin out of an amalgam and sedimented habit on sensitivities. Subsequently, they enter into the dialectical relationships with their new local, producing, as a result, new knowledge in conversation with it. This process yields hybrid knowledge and intercultural products that could potentially constitute generic material for novel cultures. We are all cultural experts in some form on others. Every individual has the capacity to make contribution to culture by sharing his or her knowledge with a local host encountered in the courtyard. Being open to the practice of sharing is an essential requirement for successful participation in a conversation and experiments. That courtyard can be potentially play host to. For this reason, the Biennale exhibition will involve the practitioners from the wide variety of the genres, including architects, designers, film directors, researchers, poets, calligraphers, musicians, and performers. The courtyard is also seen as a plane of the experience and an experiment, as an arena for learning and critical thinking of discursive embodied kind. Sharjah has been creating new cultural genes in collaboration with the migrant it hosts, as it simultaneously reconstructed the past. Now that the postcolonial discourse is coming to an end, this situation can be variable as a preparation and made for the future. Cultural spheres share the courtyard culture that we bloomed in the great civilization, stagnated in a tradition to modernity. And number of the countries that had been part of the such spheres were subject to separate colonization. Edward Said has criticized how 19th century Europe recognized that the Arab and Asian cultures were great cultures, but still attempt to package them together as a part of the Orientalism. The Global South, including South America, currently inhabits a moment of enormous potential energized as it by the forces of the globalization over the past couple of decades. That happened by vibrant cultural exchange that migration has facilitated, and by advanced socio-cultural and political-economic hybridization. This is a moment that enabled cultures forms that had sunk beneath the surface to emerge. The metaphorical condition for stimulating a cultural negotiation and generating knowledge that is presented by courtyard makes it a space that resists tendency for perfunctory data sharing and consumption, and resists the destruction of the local culture. Within this space, the international and the local encounter one another and negotiate an effort to each passing wave of globalization. The courtyard emerges as a laboratory for experiment in mapping out new cultural cartography. I invited 1990 artists, most of them originated from Global South. The exhibition, followed by three programs, performance, film program directed by Joe Apichapu Uesatakun, Thai film directors, who also he invited the five curators from different parts of the world. Music program directed and composed by Tariq Atwi to create a contemporary courtyard at the social spaces. I invited the architects and artists to create a temporary architecture intervention that will help envision new urban structures that connect and share the historical areas with the larger city. This location, this is the museum, and there are several, and this is the historical areas. These are new space that which Anna Fuller just presented. These are several points colored marked and the public space project. I just try to connect an kind of old museum and the new space to be together with the several and the public and the project. So just it. This is a new space. It's relevant reflecting and typology of the architecture typology and old courtyard and labyrinths. This is inside the space. All the dialogues are inside outside, bringing natural light, is very contemporary manners. This is a place and designed by Ori Sharin and for the film projection. This is a place that's open to public, inviting the people to have a look. What's his ideas? It's also the architect responding and environment, because those dunes and the desert is very such a important characteristic to environment. So this is a real desert. Oasis, and one of the architect and office and Kirsten Gears and David Van Severen, and they designed an oasis. That are three oasis. It's the oasis and transformed by very contemporary architecture program. There are three types of the oasis. One of the oasis composition, one is oasis and public transportation. The other oasis was for, have some kind of, cafe at a place and a meeting. Because and also oasis is an originary symbol of the courtyard. Courtyards and kind of Islamic courtyards and come from the symbols and paradise, where the water and green and the plant there. It's a design of the contemporary oasis, one. The other one is a circle party, bar counters. This is also oasis. So that you see in the green part is the location of the oasis. This is one public sculpture by Ernesto Neto, and he's going to make a very beautiful kind of pavilion as the big sculptures. People can stay inside, enjoying very beautiful shadows. This is a calligraphy square. In calligraphy square and Sana and designed the pavilion. Sorry, it's the picture is so whitey. It's a kind of bubble and a sphere just connecting together. This is a kind of bubbles and make some nice and pavilions. This is a calligraphy museum location. Also, this is near the coast and one of the square will be designed by Studio Mumbai. Studio Mumbai is going to very nice kind of rest place and make a very well designed, very beautiful shade. Shade is also made in India because Sharjah is very strong relation to India, also particularly South India. Lots of the craftsmen and also working for that, and all this beautiful shade and is coming from the Indias, like this. These are the new venues. It's a bank buildings. One of the buildings was built in the 70s. That's going to be demolished. And we just renovated and temporary and buildings and to just invited many kind of Arab origin artists to make dialogues in between city, also contemporary and also their own creation. This is Bank Street. and a Superflex and a Danish and a artist group. They're going to make a big park. It's a kind of memorial park, also public space. This is the way to just make a you know park. It looks like something like a dune, but then they put those kind of public furniture. They took an enquete and a lot of immigrant people, and with most memorable, most impressive and public furniture from their own countries. They just proposed benches and street lamps and also even trash boxes, and lots of different kind of memories and come from their own and places. That's going to be together. That's kind of memorial park at the bank. These are the collection buildings, the other venues. These are the basic cars and old and houses and the courtyard. This is the Charge Art Museum. I just showing the venues. And also the I just showing some of the artists and which my and presented my ideas because then some of the artists really and responding on the historical heritage, cultural heritage, to a contemporary interpretation. This is Ahmed Matar. This is a picture of the Mecca. This is contemporary Mecca because people only knows about the very traditional photographs inside the arena, but then surrounded and this is real kind of situation what Mecca's location is. This is also Ayman Ramadan. This looks like a Leonardo da Vinci Last Supper and or more dramatic and religious painting and from and Christian painting. But then he's shooting and you know the local and Egyptian workers on the street. It's a fasted break of the Ramadan. They're just serving and served by and free meals. They just come together to eating very quietly. It's a new production, Yang Fudun, and a very important Chinese artist. He's shooting on two venues. One is Alhambra, the other one is Sharjah, because he just make a connection in two places and those kind of historical context, also up to the contemporary. This is the Alhambra part. This is Sharjah Shkandar, and originally from Pakistan, living in New York. And she just shoot this inside this old cinema on the east coast, Isfahan. And this is old cinema was built in the 70s by Pakistani immigrant. It's inside the cinema, now it's abandoned. She make creating very nice kind of images and utils and miniature, also calligraphy, and make a projection inside. Also, she make an, she's going to present a new drawings and paintings as a calligraphy styles. Also, for me, it's very interesting to you know make a new genealogy. What is an you know an calligraphy and a tradition to be in a contemporary poem? This is one of the master of the calligraphy master to transform the calligraphy into the contemporary languages. He's a Yuichi Inoue. He was presented by Kaspar Koenig as several European curators, but not so well known. He's also another, you know, calligrapher in Iraq, and also he just transformed a very traditional calligraphy into contemporary poem, Hassan Mastai. Also, this is an Chow Wei Tai, and a Taiwanese and a human artist. She made a very interesting animation, and she make an also calligraphy, but that R means you know also oral meanings. Also, the R means first word, so people just pronounce something like a very symbolic meaning. Also, she make a calligraphy and R because this is also very interesting. In between, it's also the lot of the artists and. Dealing with the global mobilities and one of the camp. And they also presented an interesting piece in documentary, but also they're developing their work as a project. It's the most updated project to be shown in Sharjah. Because this is a stories and relations between and how people move and from South India to and Sharjah. How all the kind of goods and also trading and is happen between those kind of countries. Also, Lux Media Collective. Also, according on you know, and my concept is create a new cultural photography, and some of the artists are dealing with some map images. Also, Lux Media Collective, they make a research of the, you know, lots of the different kinds of, the, you know, map, and from an 10th century to the present. And the map is redrawing many times, but sometimes no kind of map, any kind of particular border between countries. Also, desert is on the desert, we're just drawing map, is deleting, erasing, also redrawing the map. It's a very, very, and very dynamic activities on how the map is going to be put on the, those kind of the, those environment, also geopolitical point. So they just also dealing with these matters and how map and redrawings many times on the desert. It's Tiffany Chan, and a Vietnamese artist. She just also make a research also the old time, also present, and how map is redrawings as to put together as an old and a new map, and to combine to create a new map. This is Barak Arıkın, and she's a Turkish artist, and she also make a lot of kind of system, network system, so what the relation in between. Also, she just make several different parameter and trade routes, or, you know, also and cultural tourism. And he just try to create four or three and different kinds of, you know, network systems, and through his wonderful and kind of the, you know, new cartography as a computer drawings. This is Wang Shaoqi at this is new project. He's going to talk a bit at his project. This is Israel, and lots of the participatory and workshop and also performance, including people together. And Israel work is one of them, and she just presenting and art the. He just inviting the people to write down their own kind of responding after the. She just collecting and you know headline and last 10 years headline the news local newspaper, and according on certain given headline, people just writing about their own news and what is kind of the stories after this headline. That's going to be and make an one kind of the. TV program as a newscasting, newscaster reading this and headline as a real news. That's going to be very interesting kind of project, and the people just giving their story after headline, that's going to be a kind of news and a caster program. That's releasing that on air. So this also Carlos Amores, and lots of different kind of invitation, different level, because also the Sharjah is and also people there is and very much and concerned about the music. Also, there's an open instrument. Those kind of cymbal drums that can be played by anybody's. This is a nice and installation be installed in courtyard. Anyone can participate their own music. So this is my end of my presentation. So I just want to make an open discourse, also open invitation to the people on the street. This is my important role as a curator and from invited from Far East to make a link to also inviting people just to contribute their own knowledge, their action to be and produce new and cultural production, to produce a cultural knowledge here for the Sharjah itself. Thank you very much.
Do we have sound? Sound? Great. Thanks very much. I just wanted to welcome, well, Shaoqi here. You will talk to us a little bit about your work, and of course we will have a panel discussion a little bit later as well, in which we will invite questions from all of you to the curator, the artist, and our other guest speakers. But for now, well, would you be able to tell us just a little bit about what your contribution to Sharjah Biennale 11 is?
Thank you. I was invited in 2011 to contribute in what is called the Witness Program of Sharjah Biennial, the 10th edition. I was expecting that I will just go visit the biennial, the opening, and just give a comment or give a talk or write something. Of course, this is not really my job, so I decided to make an art piece about it. So I spent about 3 weeks in Sharjah. That was 2011. And working a little bit with I decided to work a little bit with the teamwork inside the Sharjah Foundation, all the people who installed the previous biennial, actually. And I didn't really know what exactly I will do with it. I just started to make a conversation with them. And what happened from this conversation that I decided to use the press conference of the Sharjah Biennial and to transcript all the words that all the curators from the previous biennial said in London, New York, and Dubai, and to, after the transcription, to translate it into Urdu. And from the Urdu, we decided to make all the workshop with all the workers inside the foundation and to give them the authority to use this text to make a song out of it, basically, to make lyrics out of it. It was a long process workshop, so I had to go to Sharjah many times. And then we invited a poem from Pakistan to also to give us his opinion about the final product. In the end, we had after inviting inviting him, we decided to have this lyrics that will be made as a song finally in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm. This is it's a really interesting process, I think. And just out of curiosity, do you speak Urdu?
No. But that was part of it, actually.
Yes.
Part of it that I really decided this time to give them the authority for the whole thing. Not even to choose. They use this whole script. We call it script, basically, which is the press conference, and then they choose whatever they want. Actually, they use fragments of the whole script to construct their own song.
Okay. And by working with the workers, the Pakistani workers in Sharjah, and then empowering them, as it were, to use that language for their own lyrics. What was the response of the poet in Pakistan and perhaps the other musicians or other people who were involved in this? The relations of kind of authority and perhaps undermining authority that are involved in that.
Okay, the poet, his name is Zahri Akbar. I think he was really, really great. He did a great job with us. He was not very happy, I have to say. He did not feel that he has enough authority because it was very clear that we want all the workers to choose whatever they want. And he had just to adjust all the... It was really limited. Like, we had to limit all his ability, actually, to give all the rest of the power to them. To make it. The idea is that the process was supposed to travel after this to Pakistan, to go to Karachi, to make the song out of it, then to travel back to Sharjah to make the final performance in Sharjah Biennale this year.
So, I mean, it is very interesting because you're obviously working with experts, with professionals who have a real well, who have really their own area of knowledge and skill, and you're bringing in these other people in this. How did you see your own role in this as an artist? Because, I mean, it's not so much the role of the standard role of a visual artist, but you become a little bit more of a negotiator, perhaps, or somebody who brings people together.
Yeah, I think it's a very new experience for me. This time, it's I decided, as I said, that to make it more like experiment and to more like handing all this, as I said, all the authority to other people. And that, for me, translates the situation that I've seen. I mean, part of this project, basically, it's... I don't want to say that it's an institutional critique, but it's more like analysis for the mechanism inside this big art institution. In that case, I'm not talking about Sharjah Foundation in particular, but I'm just talking about this whole... mechanism of what does it mean to have a Biennale, and usually the Biennale is addressing that this year we will be breaking the gaps between contemporary art and the local community, and I'm trying to make such analysis about this dynamic, the relationship between the art institution and the local community, basically.
I think this is a very interesting point because, as you say, there is perhaps some criticism in the contemporary art world about the role of the Biennale and international global biennials and how there are very often very strong social ambitions in the language around it. And it may or may not always work out. I think in your project, it kind of really goes directly to the core of that. So to some extent, there's also then, of course, the question of the fact that you were, after all, selected by UCO for this project. So there seems to be an interest to engage with that process. How does that work for you?
Yeah, I think that was a question also. Even for Yuko from the beginning, that if she will accept to do this, because it's a bit can be a bit critical, and I'm really glad that in the end the foundation was like really accepting this, and Yuko was like really generous with this invitation. I think it was very, very important. I also think it's part of this project that I started to work with musicians from Pakistan, which is Qawwali music, actually, that I didn't know enough about it. I feel that in this project, I'm really working with my ignorance, for sure. I'm working with a language that I don't know. I'm working with people even that I don't know enough about them. I don't even know enough about this music, and I feel this time that I'm just trying to combine all these elements to construct something hopefully would be strong in the end, because it's a performance, which is also a field that I don't really work with a lot. Usually I consider my work as a documented performance. But this time, it's like a real performance, really, with people that even they're well-known Qawwali singers, Farid Ayaz and Abu Muhammad, and these are the people that I worked with in Pakistan, actually.
So I just to be absolutely clear, because I hope that many of you here will be able to go, but I'm sure not everybody will, the final outcome of this will then be a live performance.
Yes.
The piece composed in Karachi, being sung in Sharjah, yes, with lyrics. Will you have the lyrics translated?
Yes, of course, because this is part of it also. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think this is very interesting. I think it's interesting also how your work, which, and I think in my brief introduction, I gave just some indication of the biennials that you've been a part of. So you have in some ways become part of this very process of the international art world and its biennials that you're now also critically engaging with. I suppose to that extent you could say that you may not be an expert on this particular kind of music, you may not understand the intricacies of the debates that your participants were having amongst themselves, mm-hmm. but you fully understand the processes of how a biennale works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think if I try to connect this work to other works, let's say Cabaret Crusade series, which is based on a book by Amin Maalouf, Crusades through Arab Eyes. I feel it's. I personally don't really believe in history that much, but I really do believe in human translation for history. I mean, I feel it's a human interpretation in the end, and I really feel that this project is also is considering more the idea of how you translate a human creation, interpretation, from one form to another, from a text, from a live conference to a text, and from a text to a script, and from a script to a song, and even the way we translate it from one language, from English to Urdu, and back to English, and I feel that all these type of transformations is really I'm really interested in.
I think this is a very interesting point, and I think you completely kind of got my kind of interest in perhaps hearing a little bit more about how this project responds to and relates to some of your previous projects, mm-hmm. and particularly perhaps thinking about the Cabaret Crusades or Télémache Sadat or other mm-hmm. works like that. What is that relation?
Yes. As I said, in Télémache series, for example, it was more into trying to construct a fake contest between two groups and to document the result of this fake thing. Usually, both parts know that we are filming them, but they don't know the purpose behind this filming. And I feel in that case, and that's why it's called Télémache. Télémache is based on a German program that was in the 80s. The German public TV produced this big public game between two cities that they compete between each other in a very humor, funny way. For example, like two groups like collecting balls from one place to another, and the setup for this game, Télémache, is it looks like a cliche for medieval European city, like knights and village and castles, forts, and
very
so on.
Kitsch.
Very, very kitsch. Yes, and I find that this is really interesting to make it a starting point. So in that case, I started to work with the same concept, which is like really having these two groups that are competing with each other in order for them. In the case of Télémache program, the purpose behind it is to entertain the audience, basically. And in our Télémache series, in the purpose behind it is to also to entertain, but in that case it's the art audience. So I make it with the same strategy that both groups don't know exactly why are they being filmed. And I think that's also happened when I started to work with a series of Cabaret Crusades. I worked with kids a lot.
Can you tell us perhaps just a little bit about what that looked like, the Cabaret Crusades, what it is? I mean, it's a filmed piece, isn't
it? It's actually what is the... We see the image for it in... It was in the beginning of...
Oh, on the holding slide. Yes. Maybe we can have the holding slide again.
Yes, it's this one. So it's just it's a film that it's all the actors are marionette, and I think that was also for me it was very important to use marionette in this series. First of all, it started when I started to read about the history of Crusades, because also I did not know anything about it. I just had to study a bit to understand what is it, then to translate it into something. So the first thing I started to read is the speech by Pope Urban II in 1095. And I just felt that this film has to do a lot with simply with the manipulation, and it just came with the idea of marionette. But also it has very important and significant reason for me, because before this, in Telematch series, I worked a lot with kids. And I work with kids because I really don't like acting at all. And I hate to see the value of the film depending on this acting skills. And I find that kids don't have any dramatic memory for any of these historical events that we're talking about. So they're just following what we tell them. If we want to talk about Sadat assassination, they don't know who Sadat is. They don't know about the assassination, really. So we just tell them to run from here to here, and they're just following this. And I find in that case the value of the film depending on the story itself. It does not depend on the acting skills. In the same case, when I started to work with Cabaret Crusades, I found that this is also very important to me, because in that case, marionette don't act, and you as a viewer can project yourself into this piece of marionette, basically. And sometimes it can be much more affecting than a very professional actor, I think.
And of course, one can go on interpreting this on countless levels about marionettes as an Italian popular art form used for something, you know, as politically, historically significant as the Crusades, the relationship this has for the entertainment of children, but also through that, one could say, perhaps the indoctrination of children through myths and fairy tales, or not indoctrination, but just education. You know? So all these layers come out in that, and it ends up as being a film which looks really quite... I mean, when I saw it, of course, I read about it, and I knew that you worked with Piedmontese marionette people, at least in part for this. Is that right?
In the first film?
Yes, yeah. In the Cabaret Crusades.
In the I made two films of Cabaret Crusades series, and now I'm preparing the third. And the last one. And the first part was the marionette. Actually, I did not make them. It was historical collection, historical Italian collection. It was taken from a place called Lupi Collection. It goes back to 200 years old. And actually, Pistoletto Foundation is the one, like, really that helped me a lot to convince them to lend us these treasures to make the film with. And the second film, which we see this image from, actually, I decided to make the whole marionette, and that was made in France, in Aubagne, with the wonderful production from Marseille Province 2013. They really made a lot of work into this, a lot.
I mean, very subtly, and I think this will be the end of our brief conversation now, one can sort of see a kind of reverse colonialism, where you, as an Egyptian artist, come to traditional Italian and French craftsmen to make use of their skills to tell stories that you are interested in. I think, without going too much into that, there's something quite suggestive in that.
I think it's true. Actually, it was really incredible, for example, to see that we are making a film in France. Inside the studio, there were like over 80 person, almost. I'm the only one who speaks Arabic. The film is in classical Arabic that tells the story of the Crusades, the European Crusades, but from the Arab point of view, which is I really like. And this is, I think, that's also connecting to what we're doing in Sharjah, the idea that it's not just about trading culture, but it's how to transform this human creation from one form to another, actually. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll now have a short break. Please use it to get yourself a cup of coffee in the cafe next door, or just have a comfort break. We'll start again at 3:20. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.